transgressions with a rod, and their iniquity with stripes. Nevertheless, my loving kindness will not utterly take from him, nor suffer my faithfulness to fail. God's patient with us.
Yes, he is.
I'm so thankful for many years God was patient with me. Mm-hmm. He's patient with all of us.
Yes, he is.
You know, there's a great, wonderful assurance to know, like Brother Wells said this morning, I don't believe it's God's will that any should perish, but he's given our nation time and space to repent and return unto the God of their salvation. And I hope and pray this year, in the next 6 months, that this nation, with all the things that are going on, will find places of prayer in the houses of God with truth and realize we need God.
Yes, amen.
Pray for our nation. If you've ever prayed for a nation, I know I've talked a little bit about politics, but if we're ever going to pray for leadership, now would be the time to do it.
Right.
Lord, we need leadership, Lord. Your leadership, and I don't believe any politicians could be any savior of this world. I believe we only have one savior, and his name is Jesus.
Yes, amen. Hallelujah.
Broken, He's holy.
He's holy.
He's holy.
He's holy.
Awesome. Awesome. He's great.
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 Awesome. Awesome. Deliverer.
Deliverer.
Deliverer,
deliverer,
awesome, provider,
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 awesome,
awesome,
protector,
protector,
protector.
Yeah. will cry, these bones will say,
sometimes we're very aware of God's greatness. Sometimes he seems distant. There's services like tonight, I think God wants to show his greatness and manifest himself in ways that only he can do. Brother Ron, we're going to put you on the spot and ask you to pray for the offering.
Give him some great praise. Hallelujah. God is faithful. God is just. God is a deliverer, a healer, a help, a strength, very present help in time of, but he's also good.
Yes.
We serve a good God. Ah, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your goodness. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Paul said, don't you understand that? No, you're not. It is the goodness of God that leadeth us to repentance. It's the goodness. It's how good God is, which lets me know how bad I am. And so I come to him in repentance. Lord, I need thee. Every hour, I need thee. I don't care how long I've been doing this, I still need him. I need him. I now realize my need more for him now than I did yesterday. And it gets sweeter and sweeter as the day goes by. Oh, what a love between my Lord and I. Keep falling in love with him over and over and over and over again. Hallelujah, hallelujah. God bless you for standing. You may be seated. Good to have Brother Reverend Ron Wright service with us tonight. Didn't know he was coming, just kind of saw him as I was there in the desk. He came in the office and greeted me, and he is an evangelist among our organization. No stranger to this pulpit, has been here numerous times, but I didn't know he was coming. I guess he's staying with some family, and he tagged along, which is fine, but I told him for service, well, Brother Wright, would you be so kind and greet us tonight? And so we're going to have him come. Just want him to take a few moments and greet you. Why don't you give him a hand clap of applause, not for him, but for the God that he serves.
Praise the Lord, everyone. It's good to be home tonight. Amen. The Lord has been so very, very good to us. This week, I had one service on Sunday. Last week, I had three. Amen. It's just the life of an evangelist, but it's an exciting life. It's good to be in the house of the Lord whenever I get a chance to just sit back and relax. But one of the things that I love about serving God in this hour is to watch his hand work. Amen. There's been some things that's been coming to me in prayer and study in the last couple months, and one of the thoughts that I've been coming across, I read in Acts chapter 7, where Stephen was addressing the council, and he began to talk to them and tell them, don't you know that the children of Israel, even when they didn't have, when all the men children were being slayed, that they were still multiplying. That God was still working on their behalf. And in the midst of the trial, in the worst 400 years of the children of Israel's life, God had already set in the midst of them a plan and a way of escape. And I'm so glad today that Jesus has already set in a plan. When it seems like the oppressions of life are bearing down harder than ever before, that's when we know victory is close. Amen. We look through the Word of God, and we know that whenever there was a challenge and the oppressor was coming up against the children of God, just right before the greatest victories that we can see in the Word of God. Amen. Today I was talking about the Great Samaritan or the Good Samaritan, and how he went into the lives the life of that man that was laying wounded and battered alongside the road, and how Jesus is so much like that Good Samaritan, that he will meet us wherever we are. If we're up on the mountaintop, if we're down in the valley, amen, the Lord will be like that Good Samaritan, and he will meet us there. Amen. Just recently, we were in a revival, and there was a man that had a tumor the size of an orange on his right kidney. And we begin to call upon that name we were just praising and singing about. We begin to pray in the name of Jesus, and that man had the tumor leave him. Not only did he have a tumor on his kidney, but on his gland inside his mouth, he had another tumor the size of a golf ball. And he began to run around the church praising God, because I prayed for him for his back. And he runs up onto the pulpit and he says, Pastor, it's gone. After church, I found out that Tuesday, just before then, he had gone to the doctor and was diagnosed with cancer, and he had a tumor in his mouth on his gland, and they were both gone instantly in the name of Jesus. Now I could stand here and say that we prayed and it just left, and we seen it, but we didn't see it physically leave. So he went back to the doctor on that following Tuesday, and he went in, and the same doctor that did all the tests on Tuesday did the same test again. And he's sitting there waiting for the x-ray to come up with tears rolling down his face, Sister Day, because he said, you're the same man that sat in this chair last week, and I see the test from last week. And He said, I see the test here, and there is no tumor. There's no cancer anywhere. God will meet you wherever you are. Whatever your need is, God will meet your need. Just we've seen a lady that had lupus, and this has been over a year ago, and the reason I testify about it tonight is because she just had her year checkup after coming through a prayer line in the name of Jesus, and God healed her, and now the doctors had to give her a clean bill of health with no lupus in her body. One of the greatest things that I love to tell people about is it doesn't have to be in the hype of a revival or behind a pulpit for God to move. Amen. I was going through just life, and I stopped in a city where we had held a revival, and I was doing a wedding for this young lady, and we were getting ready to leave on Monday to go to a two-week revival in Las Cruces, New Mexico, and I went to hook up my truck like I do, because we move our RV from place to place, and I was backing up to it, and I got stuck, and it wouldn't connect, and I was getting frustrated. It wouldn't unconnect. It was stuck, and the pin wasn't there the way it was supposed to be. It just wouldn't latch right. And I got so frustrated. Just today I was mad. I'm sweating. It's 105 degrees out. No humidity. I'm just sitting there dwindling away to nothing. Go back to the back of the RV, and I just begin to pray. I said, God, I don't know what I'm going through. I don't know why this is happening, but you got to help. Went back and I prayed over, said, Lord, let this thing come unhook or hook or something. And it came up. And I got in the truck, and my wife and I, we drove down to this RV place where we had bought some stuff for our other RV before. And this man was standing there, and I began to tell him my problem. He said, well, is it something that you can leave with us? I said, no. I said, I'm an evangelist. I'm getting ready to go to a revival, and I'm leaving today. We start tomorrow, and I've got to get on the road. That's why I'm here. He said, well, let me take a look at it. So we took a look at it, and we're standing inside the shop. He had pulled the plate off of it, and he begins to talk to me, and he said, Reverend Wright, he said, what kind of revival are you going to? I said, well, it's the kind where there's going to be miracles of healing, where people are going to be healed. And I told him about the man that had a tumor and the baby that was born with no colon just going to be sent home to die. And four tests later, the baby had a brand new colon and now is a year old. I said, we're going to see miracles like that, where people are going to be healed of lupus. And I began to talk to him, and I said, we're going to see people filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. I said, we've been seeing God fill people with the gift of the Holy Ghost, and it's just one of the most beautiful things. And he begins to have a tear run down his face, and he says, I know it was the Lord that sent you here. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, I'm saying in myself, I'm going through just life right now. There was not a whole lot of spiritual in me at that moment. And he says, I know it was the Lord that sent you here. And when I saw the tear, I begin to think, it is the Lord that has sent me here. And he said, my daughter has cancer. She's been sent home to die. She's got three tumors inside her lymph nodes, and she's not expected to live. Would you pray for her? And I said, yes. Right there in the shop, I said, Ken, what's your daughter's name? He said, her name's Brandy. I said, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, you know the need of this man's daughter. And I was talking just like this, Brother Wells. I wasn't jumping and shouting like evangelists do. I said, you know the need. I said, let your hand of mercy touch his daughter. I gave him my card. He gave me her information. I told him that we'd pray for her at the next revival we were at. I told that church that we went to, I said, let this be the first miracle. And we prayed the very first service. I got in the truck, and I told my wife, and we prayed real quick, just a little, just life prayer. God, you know the need. Like we do. Got on the road, and there's a semi flipped over right in the center of town. And I'm like, thank you, Jesus. You just protected me from that semi turning over. And that's where my mind was. Just life. And God protected me from that semi. Because if I had left when I was supposed to, that could have been me and my new home underneath that semi. Well, to hurry up and get out of the way, because I know I'm taking too long. 2 weeks later, I am now 2,000 miles away from that city in a tent revival in Pendleton, Oregon. And I get an email just before the Wednesday night service. We had been going through some things with our truck, and I was a little down, and we were on our way to the service, and get this email, and Janie starts crying. She says, you got to read this. And she read it to me, and it said, Reverend Wright, you may not remember me, but my name's Ken. I'm the man that you prayed with in the shop. He said, my daughter went to Mayo Clinic to get another test done. And they said that the cancer was no longer in her lymph nodes. There was just two little spots that had moved to her lungs. And they're going to do a procedure on her, but they can't find cancer in her blood. He said, we owe that to the prayers that you and your wife prayed for us. And we thank you because God did that. Well, we went back to that church and I told the pastor about it. And I made contact with the man. And it just so happened that that was the weekend that his daughter had gone back to Mayo. And I called him on Saturday and he says, it's odd that you would call right now. He said, we just got the news from the doctor. My daughter just came out of surgery. And when they went in there, they were no bigger than a pea. And there is no cancer in her blood and in her body anywhere. And they don't understand why. He said, but I know that it was your God. And I'm so thankful that you stopped by to see me. I want you to know tonight, whatever situation God already knows, wherever you're at, he's already working on the backside and he knows the need that you have tonight.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Brother Wright. Wow. He is a miracle-working God. He's still in the miracle business. Why don't you stand to your feet? I do want to remind you, next Sunday, special Sunday for us, regularly scheduled Sunday morning service beginning at 10 a.m. And then in the evening, we will convene at my residence, 803 Castle Street, for our annual church picnic. Family, faith, freedom celebration. And your only cost of admission is going to be a side dish or a dessert. And there will be water and tea, things of that nature, maybe some Kool-Aid. But if you want something other than those, you will need to bring it yourself. And if you want to bring some for others to share, well, that's a godly thing to do. And so we encourage you that. Most importantly, we want you to please be reminded to bring a lawn chair. We will have some chairs there, but we will be limited. And so we need you to provide your own seating, if you will. And that way you can take it with you when you go. Beginning at 5 o'clock next Sunday is a great time to invite family, friends, others around about. We extend an invitation to the church in Yorkville for them to come and be a part of it as well. And so we're just encouraged by what God has in store, and meeting and fellowshipping one with another. If you have your Bibles, and you'd be so kind. Turn in them with me to Luke chapter number 24. It's often funny when my wife and I get in the vehicle after service, and many times the question is raised, you know, whether the song was correct for altar call or things like that. And I realize that my messages aren't always simple ones in the sense of choosing something And I know that that those in music get together many times near the end and try to find something that is that's fitting. In regards to tonight, I just want to say good luck. But I do believe that I have a word from the Lord, and I believe it is for us in understanding how that God would use us to impact and influence those around about us. Luke chapter number 24, begin reading in verse number 27. Beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. As they drew nigh into the village, whither they went, he made as though he would gone further. He acted as if he was going to go on ahead without them. But they constrained him. They asked him, they compelled him, if you will, saying, "Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent." And he went in to tarry with them. It came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. They said one to another, "Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures?" And they rose up that same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, "The Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon." And they told what things were done in the way. And pay attention to this last portion of this passage, because it's from there I would like to draw a text. And how he was known of them in the breaking of bread. And how he was known of them in breaking of bread. We know this, many of us know that this story has to deal with the disciples that were on the road to Emmaus, the Bible says. And there, Jesus, unbeknownst to them that it was Jesus, appeared unto them and began to talk with them in the way, began to expound to them about the scriptures concerning himself. The Bible lets us know that they never recognize. They do not realize who it is that is conversing with them. They do not realize who this man is that is expounding the scriptures unto them. By their own admission, they say, "Wow, he was special. Did not our hearts burn within us? When he talked to us, when he expounded the scriptures, when he told us all these things." But when they go back to Jerusalem and they tell the disciples there, and they relay unto them what has happened and the experience that they had with this man, they now know, they say without a doubt, "The Lord is risen. He was with us. He spoke with us. We know it was him because he was known in the breaking of bread." With the help of the Lord, I want to preach to you upon this subject: known in the breaking of bread. Known in the breaking of bread. Can we pray? Lord Jesus, we love you. God, we thank you for the opportunity to be here in your house and lift you up and magnify your precious name. Lord, we thank you for the testimonies of your healing power and virtue. God, we thank you for the faith and encouragement that we have in this body of believers, Lord. And now we ask that you would open our hearts and our minds to receive your word, Lord, that we would see therein a great principle of understanding, God, and how that we are to reach this world and how we are to impact and influence those around about us, how that we can, through something that seems maybe simple and insignificant, find such great spiritual significance in what we do. We love you, Lord Jesus. We praise you. We thank you. We honor you for who you are and what you do. In your name that is above every name, in the only saving name of Jesus Christ, we ask it. And everybody said amen. God bless you for standing. You may be seated. Known in the breaking of bread. Sometimes we fail to see the significance in exceedingly significant things. Sometimes things are much more spiritual than we even realize. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 12, 22 and 23, "Much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow a more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have a more abundant coming." Simply saying is that sometimes those things that we see or maybe even term or
we notice, but we seem to think are insignificant. Those things are much more significant than we even realize. Those things that on the outset or at the beginning may not, their significance may not be apparent, and we may not truly understand their significance, but we can understand through Scripture that it is sometimes those things. Those things that we are not readily aware of, and those things that are sometimes, if you will, hidden jewels within the Scriptures, it is those things that are very significant. It is my hope and my prayer that tonight we find one of those things, that tonight we find some significance in something that we may not understand or we may not see as being very significant. See, we need to understand this principle. That the church is the barn, and out there is the field. Now let me make sure we understand. You see, many times we call this the gathering, but unfortunately, many times it's just a gathering of believers. Now, don't get me wrong, we need that. We need to gather together. We need to assemble together. But in reality, the gathering should take place outside of these walls. Reaching people and impacting, influencing their lives and making a difference. It really matters what goes on outside of you. Because many times people will not come or they will not make entrance into the church until you have first made an entrance into their life. And so getting to know them or finding a way to make a connection with is very important. It's essential. And we need to understand that one of the great assets in field work is something that many of us do numerous times a day. Eat. Some of y'all are going to get real excited. What we do and we participate in the breaking of bread or having a meal together, the Bible lets us know and we can see by the story that Jesus himself is made known in the breaking of bread. Hang with me, I'm going somewhere. You see, having a meal with someone, it's much more significant than you and I even realize. Sitting down and breaking bread with someone is a special way to make a connection. Now, I'm going to prove it to you on a natural level. Many of us, if we can think back that far, I can visualize the night very clearly. It happened to be at a place called Joe's Crab Shack. It was the first official, if you will, date. My wife and I can remember what she wore, red skirt, white, red blouse. I remember how excited I was when she showed up. She made her way to the table where I was seated. Anticipation that, wow, maybe this one will like me. But my point is this. Many times we get to know someone or a significant other, that story begins on a date. And majority of that time, that date, many times, is a meal. Because somewhere along the line in the conversation, somewhere along the line in that dialogue that goes back and forth, some awkwardness, some walls of awkwardness or some uncomfortability. We find a common subject and we find something that we can talk about and we find that conversation is easy or not. And that things are going well or they're not. Or that there's the possibility for this to grow and materialize into something more. And so we understand that when we sit down and we break bread together, there's some connection. There's some understanding. There's some dialogue that goes back and forth. In a secular sense, how many deals are done at a dinner table? where two parties, they agree to have a meal together. And as the conversation ensues and through the course of the meal, it is determined whether or not they're going to shake hands and they're actually going to sign on the dotted line and the contract is going to happen and we're going to go forward because there's connections made. There's that coming together. There's some common ground that we finally do agree on and we move forward. See, it's no mystery why that it was often when they were seated to eat that Jesus would explain the parables to his disciples. See, I'm going to swing it back spiritually. Many of the Bible stories and some even noted happenings in the Bible took place while Jesus sat at meat. We can find examples in Scripture where Jesus is expounding the Scriptures and it's at a meal. His first miracle is at a wedding feast. I think you're starting to see the picture and understand. It's something as what we may think is insignificant as just breaking bread with someone has such spiritual implications. In fact, it was when Jesus, if you look at the passage of Scripture, I believe it's in Matthew chapter 10, chapter 9, verses 10, and it came to pass that as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the religious type saw it, when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, "Why eateth your master with sinners and publicans?" Jesus said, "They that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick." What Jesus is simply saying is, I'm making connections with these people. You see them as sinners and publicans, but I see them as souls. And God has called me. I am here to seek and save that which was lost. And you need to understand that I find something very significant in my eating with these sinners and publicans. You may not understand it. You may look down your nose condescendingly to them. And that's the very reason why you'll never be able to reach them. Now I sit down with them and I break bread with them and I'm able to talk with them and they're able to know me. How many times have you gotten to know someone better over a meal? How many times have people gotten to know you better over a meal? Many of you know this. When we first came here to pastor, I prayed and I said, "God, I want to know how to connect with these people. I'm from 1,200 miles away and I don't know much about this area and this is all new to me, God. And I want to know how am I going to make some connections with these people?" And many of you know, for the whole first year, we invited people over to our home and cooked meals. Why? Because we wanted to make connections. The Lord began to show me how spiritually significant it is to break bread with people, to spend time with people, to invest with people. Last thing Jesus did with his disciples before the crucifixion, he ate with them. He said, in Luke chapter 22, when the hour has come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him, and he said unto them, "With desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer." Jesus knew what was about to happen. Jesus knew that he was not going to leave the city of Jerusalem until he was hanging upon a cross. Jesus knew that he was about to suffer. And yet he said, "With desire have I desired to eat this Passover with you." Furthermore, Paul tells us the same night in which Jesus was betrayed, he took bread. Jesus broke bread with his betrayer. And if Jesus could break bread with his betrayer, how in the world do I think that I am exempt from someone who maybe we just don't get along? Or someone who we don't have much in common with? Oh, now I'm getting real. And now I'm preaching. I would have them over to my home, pastor, but I don't know much about them. I would invite them out to a meal, but I don't know how the conversation would go. I would invest more time in them, but I don't know that we have much in common. The same night in which Jesus was betrayed, he took bread. The same night that he knew before the night was over, he was going to receive a kiss, a betrayal, he still stood and said, come on, Judas, sit down here at the table. Let's break bread together. Even though you're going to betray me, Jesus is saying in his heart and in his mind, I'm still going to break bread with you. Something as seemingly insignificant as taking the time out to invite somebody to a meal, to take the time out to spend $10 and buy them a burger and fries. And somewhere along the line of that conversation, could you allow the Holy Ghost to compel you to talk about the goodness of God? Somewhere along the line, could you take a moment and say, maybe there's some great significance in what's going on here. It's just a burger and fries, but there could be something exceedingly spiritually significant. See, if we are not inviting people to break bread with us, then we are missing a great opportunity to know and be known. Say that again. If we are not inviting people to break bread with us, one of the greatest tools of evangelism is your dining room table. Because if you invite someone to your home, guess what? It's going to be a lot easier to invite them to your church. When the walls of awkwardness and uncomfortability come down as a result of being known and knowing them, then it's going to be a lot easier to say, hey, would you want to come to church with me sometime? Folks, home groups, it's not a new phenomenon. I'll prove it to you. Acts chapter 2. This is after the day of Pentecost. This is what they did. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles, and all that believed were together, and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they continued daily in one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. See, one of the reasons why breaking bread is so significant is because it ends up bringing people to church. The Lord uses breaking bread together to bring people and add them to the church. And if we are not taking an opportunity to break bread with sinners, we're not taking an opportunity to look unto people who may be on the surface and on the outside. We don't see much significance in really taking time out to interact with them. But if we would understand that if we would do something as simple as break bread, we would do something as simple as invite them out for a meal and say, hey, I'd like to get to know you a little better. I'd like to spend some time and getting to understand and know you. Guess what? They're probably going to want to know a little bit about you. And they're probably going to want to know a little bit about your God. And they're probably going to want to know a little bit about where you go to church and how you got it all together and how you're making a difference that you don't even know you're making in the workplace. Known in the breaking of bread. Let me ask you this very poignant question. When was the last time you broke bread with someone who wasn't family or part of the church? When was the last time you sacrificed and took time out of your schedule to invite someone to sit down for a meal? Got past the awkwardness and found some connection. It's no wonder. I'm gonna put on the pastor hat for a few moments. It's no wonder there's an attrition rate. It seems like the church has a revolving door. we really expect the only connections we make is when they come and we're here and we say a few words to them and we appease our conscience. I told you, we'll put on the pastor hat. And then they're not coming, and we don't know why. And the reason why we don't know why is because we don't know enough about them. We haven't taken the time to invest in their lives. We haven't taken the, I guarantee you this, if we'd have spent time breaking some bread with them, guess what? We'd probably already know what they're dealing with. They may even confide in us and ask us to help them pray, and so we'd have a little better understanding. I know. Hold your toes under the pew. I know. It's something, and it seems on the surface so insignificant, but yet it's how the apostles did it. It's how they went breaking bread from house to house. And guess what? They didn't even have the Bible. They just gave their experience. They just gave their story. They just gave, guess what? What they had learned breaking bread with Jesus. And so now they're breaking bread with other people, and they say, hey, you know what? One time when I was with Jesus and we broke bread together and he told me this parable, let me expound you. I now know what this parable means by the experiences and the encounters. And so they began to break bread with other people. And the Bible says the Lord added daily. We really think we're going to win this world on a Sunday and Wednesday? We are sadly mistaken. It's a daily involvement in the lives of other people. It's a daily understanding that maybe today is a day where God can use me to do something as seemingly insignificant as break bread with someone, but maybe in the course of that conversation, God can compel them and God can start leading them and drawing them through something as simple as a meal. You see, they walked with him, talked with him, he expounded scriptures unto them. He went all the way back to Moses, began to tell them. He was revealing who he was the whole time he's talking. He's talking about himself, the Bible says. He's expounding the scriptures concerning himself. And these disciples are walking with him. They get to the city, and the Bible says that he acted, I'm paraphrasing, as if he would just go on. He says, all right, you guys have a good evening. And the Bible says they constrained him. Folks, sometimes when it's as if, well, they really don't want to spend time with me. They wouldn't be interested in having a meal with me. They're just as if they would just go on about their day and do their own thing. Yet these disciples, the Bible says, they constrain him. Come on in. Spend some time with us. Tarry ye the nights upon us, days far spent. Come on, come inside and just dwell with us for a little bit. They talked with him. They spent time with him. Church, you may even walk around the building with him, casual conversation. Hey, turn to leave, and we don't really constrain him to stay because we don't really maybe know what else to say. Conversation has reached an awkward place, and so we just let them walk out the doors, go about their lives. Or maybe we say, hey, let's spend some time together. Let's find something to do. Let's find some common ground. Get together. And now they constrain Jesus to come inside, and the Bible says, well, they walked with him, talked with him, and expounded the scriptures. It wasn't until they began to break bread that their eyes were opened and they knew him. The Bible specifically points out that when they go back and they tell the other disciples their experience, they say, and I quote, and he was known in the breaking bread. We walked with him and we talked with him and we spent time with him. And we sat down for a meal together and we began to break bread and our eyes were open. They can walk with you. They can work with you. They can spend time with you. But when there's a solid investment in their life and their sacrifice that they know you've made on their part. Maybe you spent time getting the house ready, and I know it's a burden, and I know it's not always convenient to make sure it's clean and it smells nice and the dishes are put away. But you make an investment for them to come and spend time, and they realize, I've said it many, many times, sincerity speaks. When you're sincere enough to open your home or invite them to a meal, pick up the tab, it's saying that there's something special about them. It is a language of sincerity that speaks, I want to know you. When you're willing to break bread with people, you're willing. You see, this is what I believe. I know Wednesday night we talked a little bit and taught on communion. This is what I believe. I believe we are ever so spiritual when we are breaking bread with people. We may not be laying hands on them. We may not be casting out demons. We may not be anointing them with oil. But guess what? We're making connections in their life. And I believe that when we break bread with people and when we spend time investing in their lives, we are making some eternal significance. Jesus was known in the breaking of bread. Folks, not only will you know more about them, you will know more about God. When you start investing in the lives of other people, and you sacrificially give of your time and your resources that someone might be saved. Also, Paul said, I was all things, all men, that by any means I might save some. In closing, you can stand to your feet. I already warned you, musicians, good luck. Help me understand. Say, well, I'd never be one to be in a leadership role, Pastor. I'd never be one. I'm nervous about public speaking, and so I don't know that I could ever do something in ministry of that nature. Can you cook? You buy a meal? Can you spend time investing in the life of someone else? Can you do something that on the surface may seem insignificant but has some very deep spiritual implications? Are you willing to break bread with somebody? Are you willing to invest your time and your effort in someone outside of your family and outside of the church? Please understand, you know me, I love the times we gather together outside of the church. And Sunday afternoons, and many of us will gather together for a meal. I wonder how many times they've wanted to eat with us. Sorry. I wonder how many times if we'd have just extended the invitation for them to break bread. They'd come. And I wonder how many of those may still be here. I said, well, Pastor, you're putting a lot of spiritual significance on something as minuscule as a meal. I don't think it's minuscule. I don't think it's meaningless. I think that when we take the time to invest in the lives of other people, and we take time of our schedule and our resources to invest in someone else's salvation, we're known in breaking of bread. We get to know them and they get to know us. The old saying, they're not going to care about what you know until they know that you care. Say that again. They're not going to care about what you know until they know that you care. Some of you have in your cupboards great tools and assets of soul. I've eaten some of your cooking. You may not be able to sing, may not be able to preach, but you can cook. Invite someone for a meal. I know it's not your get up, shout, run around, hoop holler. Maybe, just maybe, we can see some significance in something. Like just breaking bread with someone. Just spending some time getting to know someone. And them getting to know us. Lord, help me. All over this house, why don't you lift your hands? Let me see, God, such significance in being willing, God, to do something as simple as prepare a meal or invite someone out for a meal to get to know them. Sound of my voice that you came into this truth. Many of you may be at a home Bible study. I happen to know for a fact the beginnings of this church started in a home. I dare say there was some, if nothing else, some light refreshments, some cookies, maybe some milk, maybe some lemonade, where we just shared something together and we broke bread. Laid someone upon your heart. Maybe it's a neighbor. Maybe it's a coworker. Maybe it's someone you met at PTA meeting, or maybe your kids play with their kids. Are you willing to do something that's very spiritual? Are you willing to break bread with them?
Matthew chapter 25 has some very, very astounding verses. We know that many of us that it's for the Lord and judgment divides the sheep from the goats. Matthew 25:41 says, "Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, unto everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was an hungered, and you gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. He said in response as to why they would depart from him, because I was hungry and you gave me no meat. You were never willing to break bread with me. Depart from me, I never knew you." He's known the breaking of bread. And when I stand before him, I want to hear those words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And Lord, if one of the ways of faithfully serving you is being willing to break bread with others, Lord, let me do so. One more time, all over this house, can you lift your hands? Lord, I don't ever want to hear, "Depart from me, I never knew you," because I was not willing to break bread. In response, they say, "Lord, when were you hungered and we did not feed you? When were you thirsty and we gave you no drink? When were you a stranger, a naked or sick or in prison and did not minister unto thee? When did we not do these?" You realize it right there. It shows that giving of food and giving of drink is ministry. Lord, when did you need these things and we did not do it? When were you hungered and we gave you no meat? When were you thirsty and we did not give you drink? When? When did these things happen? "Then shall ye answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you did it not to one of the least of these, you did it not to me." Could
would it be that I know more about God in being willing to break bread with His people? Could it be that I know more about God and His will and His way when I'm willing to sacrifice of myself and spend time with those that are the great treasure? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. He loves them just like He loves you. And they will know His love through you. For He's known in the breaking of bread. Oh, Jesus, we love you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for challenging us, God. Stirring our spirit to see that there's something that we do numerous times a day that we may think is insignificant, but Lord, it can be a tool. It's a great gathering tool in the field, God, to reach people, to pull them, God, to connect with them, that they would come. Oh, thank you, Jesus. So to differ with you. There is one thing I know you have in common. You have the love of God, for He loves you and He loves them. There is a common, a great common denominator. Jesus loves you. Jesus died for them just like He died for you. Just be willing to break bread. They're known in the breaking of bread.
I give myself to you. I give myself away. I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away. I give myself away.
God bless you for being in the house of the Lord this evening. In parting, I would say this. We have opportunity to be at our picnic next Sunday night. Someone's there that you don't know. Maybe you should take your plate over by them. Break bread with them. Get to know them. Let them get to know you. It could be the very thing which makes an eternal difference in their lives. Just a few words said over a meal, but those few words somehow resonated in their heart and in their life. The kindness that I demonstrated in being willing to overlook the awkwardness, step out on a limb, and get to know them. That was the turning point for them. That was where it all began to change, where considerations were made, and now they serve you because I was but willing to break bread. I bless you for being in the house of the Lord. You may go in the precious name of Jesus Christ.